the Off the Ball podcast on OTB Sports Radio, Ireland's first and only sports radio station.
John Giles will be coming up a little bit later on the football show from 9 o'clock, where we'll also hear from the Sheffield United manager, Chris Wilder. But right now, we're going to focus on what's happening in sport with the COVID-19 outbreak. The sporting fixture list has been decimated for the next few weeks, event after event throughout the afternoon being called off. Here in Ireland, the GEA, the IRFU and the FAI have all called off their sporting fixtures for the next couple of weeks. We'll check in with Rory O'Connor on the situation in rugby just after 8 o'clock. We'll hear from Alan Milton from the GEA in a little while. But right now I'm joined by Stephen McGuinness, who's head of the Players Football Association of Ireland. Evening, Stephen.
Evening, Nathan. How are things?
I guess once the announcement was made by Leo Varadkar earlier today that there was a banning of mass gatherings of more than 500 people, that this was a very straightforward decision and one you were expecting.
Yeah, we had met with the Federation and the clubs yesterday. There was a task force group set up, two representatives from the players, from the PFAI, two from the clubs and two from the FAI. So we were meeting today anyway, ahead of the decision with the government. So obviously, when it came that the decision, you would have liked it probably. It sort of left it a little bit open, that like 500 outdoor and whatever else. It still leaves it open, Nathan, in regards to training and how we handle the situation where athletes now have 2.5 weeks, I think it is, to the 29th, and how we manage then athletes and training. And that's the discussion that we're going to have when meeting again tomorrow at 11 o'clock, how players and how clubs manage players from a training perspective.
So it hasn't been made clear as of yet from the meetings that you've been involved in as to whether or not group training sessions can continue over the next few weeks.
Correct. And I think that's something that I've spoken to a lot of the managers, myself and Ollie Cahill have rang, but managers in both divisions, and by the season we'll have spoken to all of them to get their feedback as well, and obviously speak to our members as well and see how they feel about training ahead of games returning on the 3rd and 4th of April, which will be you'll be returning to training on the 29th, which will be a Sunday, and with games then scheduled at this moment in time for the Friday and the Saturday. So I suppose there's a sport part of this as well, as where like athletes haven't taken 2 weeks off and not training, how is that going to affect them? But then they come in to suddenly play games with a lead-in of only 4 or 5 days into it. How does that affect them? And then obviously we're looking at a scenario as well of is it the right decision for athletes not to train? A lot of our clubs are in public places, or they're in universities and colleges, and we're closed down. So training facilities are limited, and bringing players into environments that wouldn't be ideal is not, I think, the right sign or signal to put out, Nathan. And I think that's a discussion that we really have to have tomorrow and work out the best solution for the elite athletes that we've got in our game.
The vast majority of sports around the world are just going to shut down, it seems, for the next few weeks and potentially even months. There are still matches going on, even tonight, in the Europa League that are being played behind closed doors. We wait and see what is going to happen with the Premier League over the coming weeks. From a League of Ireland point of view, is postponing the league for 2 weeks a better scenario than playing games behind closed doors?
100%. A lot of our revenue is match day revenue. A lot of our clubs survive on match day revenue. We're not lucky enough, like leagues like England, Spain and Italy, where there's huge TV deals and sponsorship deals that can back up a league. I mean, there's already clubs flagged that even in 2 weeks that they would be in trouble financially and having to continue to pay players when there's no match day revenue coming in. And that's obviously the FAI have assigned one of the employees to look exactly at what the figures are at each individual club and the effects of no gate receipts. And then discussions had with the government and with UEFA upcoming to assist our clubs in ensuring that staff, not just players as well, there's obviously coaching staff and there's the secretaries and there's other people around the clubs that would find themselves, and the clubs find themselves in huge financial difficulties. There is a number of clubs that would be okay, but we have quite a number as well that wouldn't be. So there are discussions that are going to happen with obviously Gary Owens, the new CEO of the FAI, and Niall Quinn, that need to take place over the coming days to ensure that we can't lose clubs while this is going on. And at the moment it's preliminary the 29th, but there's nothing to say that won't go beyond that. So they're the discussions that need to take place, and we're one of them leagues, Nathan, that's really like we're a small league in Europe, and we are really open. This has potential for catastrophic effects for some of our clubs if this goes on longer than even the 29th.
Well, the word catastrophic is exactly what Niall Quinn used last night when saying what could happen with the League of Ireland. And here, look, Stephen, you're as aware as anybody, there's not a business in Ireland that isn't going to be seriously affected by what's happening at the moment and over the coming weeks and months. From that League of Ireland point of view, where most clubs wouldn't have long-term resources, and as we know from everything that's gone over the last year in the FAI, clubs tend to live week to week, month to month. Have you got a sense from the government or from UEFA that there may be some funds made available to make sure the clubs can keep going?
Yeah, there's discussions. There's a meeting on Tuesday with FIFA, the World Players Union, and Jonas Berhoffman is the General Secretary, who had discussions with over the last couple of days. And obviously, when we have the financial figures from the FAI, I think we'll have them tomorrow, we'll know exactly what our Premier Division and First Division them figures are, and then them figures fit in. There is a little bit of an understanding that UEFA will have to assist. I think there's no way around them having to assist. And there's obviously solidarity payments that we would hope maybe be forwarded, that would be forwarded, or potentially ring-fence government funds that we know that the FAI are receiving. There's an 800,000 ring-fence both the men's and women's game. Is there potential for us to approach government to look for some of that money to be used to ensure that we sustain our clubs and that they stay solvent over this, whatever length of period of time this is, Nathan? So I think they're the types of discussions that are going on, and obviously UEFA make a decision on Tuesday, which I think that decision is going to be around the Euros and around other competitions as well, not just leagues.
Just in terms of figures then, I saw a figure of maybe €1 million over a 3-month period if we were to have that sort of a shutdown. Would that be about right?
Yeah, that would be, again, it's a guess, Nathan, until we get the figures tomorrow, but I would say that would cover it all, right? That would get us through. And at the moment, it's to the 29th, but I think a lot of people believe that it could be a little bit longer, that depending on how, over the next couple of weeks, how the virus is contained. So that is the figure at the moment. I think it'd be in around that. And I mean, in the bigger global scale of football, that figure isn't huge, but it's still substantial in our league. And I mean, we've got a huge amount of full-time players, Nathan. Like, we've between 150 and 180 full-time players whose only income is football in our league. Mm. And we've another 120 then who are part-time. But it's a lot of people, and that's without staff and everything else that are around the game. So there's a hell of a lot of people reliant on this, on professional football. And with no games being played and so heavily reliant on matchday revenue, it is a serious, serious problem for our league. Unlike other leagues where they can just make a ban, like in Spain, they can just stop playing. That isn't the case here. And that's why this task force has been set together really quickly. And it looks like, I have to say, and it is important to say this, that the meetings that we've had, the FAI have been very proactive in this and so have our clubs. So everybody's doing their best, and I think everybody's pushing in one direction, which is good to see.
Have you been talking to many of the players? How concerned are they about what might develop over the coming weeks?
Yeah, I have. I've spoken to a number of the players, and just off the phone from one of them who has a young baby as well. And they're very concerned, and I think obviously the safety is and the health of the players are key in these situations. And even though there hasn't been a recorded incident in our own league, we do believe it's only a matter of time if it continues. So there is a real feeling from our players that health and safety comes first, and that they want to ensure that the environment that training is the safest it can be. So there is an obligation with us and the clubs to make sure that the environment that training and playing are as safe and as healthy as they can be. So that's something that has to be, it's one of the pieces that we have today, is to look at the training environments that our players are going to train in, and to make sure that they're safe. And it is a case, Nathan, of every club training in their own home grounds, because they have control over that rather than in public air, public pitches or public dressing rooms. And they're the discussions that need to take place tomorrow, because we are aware that athletes do need to train, but do we say now that the athletes should train their own away from the clubs? And they're the discussions that have to take place tomorrow.
There's obviously been a lot of negotiations with the FAI throughout this, and you say it sounds positive in that they've been far more proactive than they have been through previous crises, even though this one is almost of an unprecedented scale for football at the moment. But there's a meeting on Tuesday about Euro 2020. All the expectation seems to be that it might be pushed back a year, and we spent the last 6 months talking about the importance of the Republic of Ireland qualifying for Euro 2020 in terms of the prize money that will come through. What's your sense of, in terms of sponsorship, in terms of revenue coming in, as to how damaging this could be for Irish football as a whole?
Yeah, as you know, their financial position is fairly perilous. We have a council meeting on Monday to approve the new bank bailout, and that has to take place on Monday with the council to have that approved. But we are Euros, and for our country as well, Nathan, like, I think Niall Quinn put a figure at 40 million was going to come into the economy based on the Euros being here. It's a huge effect on our game if the Euros don't take place. It's a huge effect on the game in general. As Niall used the word catastrophic, I think it is in every area. And we're just getting back up on our feet, and this has come to hit us again. So it is hugely damaging. But again, like everything, you've got to get through this. We've got to walk in. And the one thing I think what you see now is people walking together. And I think that's important for the game. I think we've all got to stick together. And whether it's players, clubs, the federation, I think we all have to work together. And there's a sense now that everybody is on the same page. And I think Gary and Noel have managed to do that, and have managed to ensure that everybody is pulling in the one direction. So that's positive, and hopefully, Nathan, that this virus can get under control, and that football can get back to some type of normality.
And I guess that's the key thing over the next 24 hours as you try and get those figures together, that there is that openness and that transparency, because we've had so many issues in terms of licensing, in terms of figures that turned out not to be exactly what they were. The clubs need to be very honest here as to the financial situation they're in, and that we can't be in a situation of we think this is the problem now, but in a month's time we're told a different number.
Yeah, exactly. And I think it's an independent look at it. I think they've got all the figures that the clubs are giving in at the start of the season. They have all the players' contracts. They have all the employment contracts. So we will know exactly what the figures are and what the effects of matchday revenue is to the club. And look, some of our clubs have done quite well in their season ticket sales. So some clubs are in stronger positions than others. And there's an understanding that some of our clubs will be okay for that period, for maybe 2 weeks to 4 weeks. But after that, there's a number of clubs that are in trouble. And a lot of people would know what clubs have financially hit trouble in the last couple of weeks when the licences came up anyway. So that assistance needs to be there, and it needs to be there from whether it's from UEFA, the government, or the FAO themselves. And I do sense from the meetings that I've been in that the help will be there for the clubs, and that we won't find ourselves in a situation where clubs will be going to the wall based on this.
All right, Stephen, thanks a lot for taking the call.
Thanks a lot, mate.
Stephen McGuinness there from the PFAI. Let's go to Croke Park and talk to Alan Milton, who is the Director of Communications with the GEA. The GEA with a statement today as well that all their matches have been postponed, training sessions, club gatherings all cancelled until March 29th. Alan, I guess following Leo Varadkar's announcement about gatherings of 100 people indoors and 500 people outdoors, that this was a fairly straightforward decision?
Well, there's been a lot of soul searching over recent weeks. We've been liaising with the HSE, as we've said all along. They're the experts, the medical experts in this. We're not. And it's a fast moving situation. But you're right, a game changer for us as an organisation was when the schools were closed, because I don't think you could justifiably expect parents to send their young children, or indeed children of any age, to a training session or a match situation when they weren't being entrusted to go into a school environment. I think for the wider benefit of society, I think it was a prudent call to make, and I just hope it has a positive impact on the public health of the nation.
And it's not just matches either, it's training sessions at club level, inter-county level, educational level, team gatherings, I guess all club gatherings you want suspended for the next couple of weeks.
Yes, anything game related is the inference from our release. So, you know, we haven't told clubs that they must shut down their bars, for example, or social centres, but obviously there's a mention of 100 people gathering in those social centres, so that will be up for clubs to police themselves, and we would expect them to be diligent in that regard. I do know a lot of clubs have cancelled everything, especially bigger events where there might be the potential to have more than 100 people, but primarily from our perspective, the focus was on games, and we had a very busy inter-county weekend coming up, so I think we needed clarity at the earliest opportunity, and that was the thinking behind the release. So would have been quite odd, I think, in my opinion, to ask people to come to Croke Park on Sunday. We probably would have been expecting a crowd in the region of 25,000 people. Also on Tuesday, we had two under-20 football semi-finals, probably a smaller crowd, but nonetheless, asking people to come in what has become quite a morbid and eerie atmosphere, just jarred with us as an organisation. We don't know how long this will last, but we do know that we'll be able to take stock over the next fortnight, and it will probably bring clarity, and a clarity that was required, not just for our members, but for the wider public in terms of, I don't think it would have been well received if people were travelling from the four corners of Ireland to come to games when there's so much important stuff happening, much more important than Gaelic games.
Have you received any indication as to whether this will just be a 2 week period of suspension or whether you can expect a longer period?
No, we're going to keep in touch as we have done from the get-go. We've been across this for over 3 weeks now. we'll take our advice and our lead from the experts in the department. There was a briefing today in government buildings at 3:30. I don't expect that there'll be any crystal ball gazing. I don't expect they'll be able to tell beyond the next 2 weeks either. I am aware of the school calendar, and there is a possibility that things could drift further. We can't speculate in that regard. What we will do over the coming days is sit down and discuss, as we have been, the possible ramifications and indeed the various contingency plans, and look at the weekends in the GAA calendar. We can only try and control what's in the remit of the GAA, not the wider societal issues that are at play here.
Everybody agrees, obviously, that the public health is the most important consideration in all this. But in terms of the GAA calendar, have you had time yet to come around to the ramifications for the calendar? Will you get to play the rest of the national leagues when things get back up and running again? Or is the possibility actually the leagues may end up just being cancelled and you go straight to Championship?
We certainly hope they won't be cancelled. But again, that will very much depend on if 2 weeks becomes a longer period of time. And we just can't say at this moment. So I think it'd be foolhardy for us to plan and put all our eggs in the 2 week basket and then find out that this is going to be pushed out to 4, 5, or 6 weeks or beyond. Who knows? Mm. So I can't give you an answer to that question because I don't believe there is one. But what we will do is we will look at, if it is only 2 weeks, we definitely feel that we can be creative, and with the cooperation of our various different internal stakeholders, you could definitely make inroads and try and remedy the situation. But the situation is too fluid at the moment to be definitive on that one.
I think, and I hope, that everybody over the last 48 hours has come to terms with the seriousness of this outbreak. And I think what's become clear is that as a community, that people need to come together through this. And I guess that's something that the GAA will be focusing on with this suspension, that people follow through on this, that obviously there's going to be no club games, there's not going to be no inter-county games, but also that there are no training sessions, that there isn't, that people are taking this serious enough that there's no, well, let's just get together, lads, on a Tuesday night and have a quick run around.
No, I think compliance is absolutely massive in this regard, and I think people need to take ownership of what we've tried to deliver. We can't police that from Croke Park, but we like to think we've got very responsible people at every level of the organisation, on committees and not on committees. It's really up to them to step up to the plate. I think situations such as this bring out the best in people. I think it will be for the common good, and especially for those members of our communities who are on the margins or maybe weak and vulnerable. I think we owe it to them, and as a society, I sincerely hope we all pull together. If this small gesture goes some way in helping in that process, it will have been worthwhile. But I'd like to think that most people will see the rationale behind this. It's been done for the right reasons. Of course, it's a small inconvenience, but when you think of what we're dealing with here, this is, as I've already said, this is bigger than sport, and it has the potential to be a whole lot bigger and a whole lot worse if people don't clue into the severity or the potential severity of the situation as it unfolds.
Have you had an opportunity over the last couple of weeks to assess what the economic impact will this
To be honest with you, Nathan, it hasn't entered our thought process whatsoever. Of course, there's going to be an inconvenience, not least for the legion of volunteers, club coaches that are employed around the country. But the GAA will get through this. It always does. Again, we can't estimate or we can't calculate the overall or the full impact of it because we just don't know the duration of it. But it wasn't uppermost in our thoughts, and arrangements will be put in place to ensure that the GAA gets through this as an organisation, not just for our volunteers, our Legion of Volunteers, but for the people who work for the GAA as well.
Alan, very good to take the call. Obviously, the GAA, while a sporting organisation, a huge outlet as well for a number of people socially, and particularly for a number of elderly people who aren't going to have that outlet now and won't want that outlet now, and you hope that the community do come together over the coming weeks.
Absolutely, yeah. And look, I'm sure people will be, especially those of a nostalgic dint, will be looking out for perhaps reruns of games. It's something we're discussing on our own platforms at the moment, is whether or not, if people are stuck at home, perhaps we can assist by creating content or sharing old content that will engage people. But look, you just hope that the wider society across sport will pull together, play our role in it. And hopefully in a few months' time, we'll be looking back and agreeing that this was the right thing to do and that hopefully the country will come out of at the right end, not just the country but society at large.
All right, Alan Milton, Director of Communications with the GAA. Thanks a lot for taking the call.
Thanks, Nathan. All the best.
The Off the Ball podcast on OTB Sports Radio, Ireland's first and only sports radio station.